It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price, the New Hampshire primary.
This is one of the most historic elections in history.
That is our top story this Tuesday, the first in the nation primary now underway.
After months of phone calls, commercials, campaign events, the day is here. Polls have shown Bernie Sanders and Pete Buttigieg a tight 1-2 here, with Amy Klobuchar also showing some late momentum.
Steve Burns reporting from Manchester, New Hampshire this afternoon. Last night in Manchester, more than 11,000 Trump supporters packed the sports arena in town. It was by far the largest crowd for any presidential candidate in the Granite State.
With your help on November 3rd, we are going to defeat the radical socialist Democrats. We are going to win New Hampshire in a landslide.
Liberal television host Bill Maher says right now he doesn't see any Democrat capable of beating Donald Trump.
The Democrats are... they just look like the gang who can't shoot straight or can't run straight. And if they can't get their act together soon, it's going to be over before it begins.
Bernie Sanders expected to win New Hampshire tonight.
Let's win this thing. Let's transform America.
He is expected to face a tough challenge, though, from former Mayor Pete Buttigieg.
New Hampshire, I believe you will help make me the next president of the United States.
Amy Klobuchar making some noise, too, in New Hampshire after her strong debate in the Granite State last week.
Let's surprise the nation. Let's get this done.
Joe Biden and Elizabeth Warren have struggled in their efforts to emerge from the pack. Democratic voters in New Hampshire say this year's crop of White House contenders kind of tough to choose from.
Finding that balance, you know, electability versus quality.
Voter turnout expected to be high in New Hampshire today, which typically sees some of the best turnout rates in the country. Political analyst Anthony Salvanto says the Granite State conducts an open primary, which is why so many voters head to the polls.
Independents can vote here, so you're going to get a mix. It can be as much as 40%, maybe more, of folks who are registered or consider themselves independents, and then the rest Democrats.
Polls close across New Hampshire 8 o'clock tonight. There's a new case of coronavirus in the U.S. The 13th reported infection is in Southern California.
The person was aboard the first flight of returning American citizens to land in San Diego last Wednesday. The patient is being treated in isolation at UC San Diego Medical Center.
That's Johnny Fernandez reporting. The death toll from the coronavirus worldwide now tops 1,000. T-Mobile and Sprint about to become one.
T-Mobile's 5G works inside and out. And
today, a federal judge approved the merger between the two wireless carriers. Business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
Sprint and T-Mobile argued that the reason they had to come together is that they had to spend so much money to get into the 5G landscape that they couldn't go alone, and that both companies alone would struggle to be relevant compared with these behemoths, AT&T and Verizon.
More than a dozen states, including New York and California, tried to stop the merger, claiming the two companies would make the industry less competitive and drive up prices. T-Mobile's takeover of Sprint, valued at over $26.5 billion. A troubling new report out today looking at how much time today's teenagers are spending on social media. The results, downright deadly.
The review of past research finds more than 2 hours of social media use a day is linked with higher rates of depression and suicidal thoughts in girls.
I become more isolated when I'm on social media.
17-year-old Maya Bell sums it up.
Even though it's supposed to be like a connector, it's honestly very isolated.
Boys vulnerable too. Carol Dealey's 12-year-old took his life after online bullying.
I think it's just terrible. I would not want to be a child right now.
The advice: don't ban, but do limit your teenagers' time online and encourage more face-to-face social interaction.
That's Vicky Barker reporting. Something happened in Baghdad today that hasn't happened in 12 years. It snowed. Iraqis in the capital city woke up to a rare sight this morning, a blanket of white. Snowfall is common in the mountains in northern Iraq, but very rare in Baghdad. In fact, the last time that city saw snow was 2008. Still to come this Tuesday, fatal house fire in Akron, young veterans in suicide, and letters of love in the Southern Tier.
Well, very good afternoon to all. Tracking a storm system in the southwestern United States that'll be delivering snow and a wintry mix here Wednesday night and Thursday. I'll be back with a complete forecast coming up shortly. We'll see you in 10 minutes.
All righty, Kevin Williams checking the stories making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania. Tuesday, February 11th, fatal house fire earlier today in Akron, New York. Fire officials say the body of the unidentified woman found inside the home on Buell Street. Cause of the overnight blaze still under investigation. Advocates stepping up to help out young veterans returning from the field of battle. It comes in the wake of a startling new report that shows the suicide rate for military members has doubled in recent years.
It's an absolute shame on, I think, our society that we have not been able to get our arms around this epidemic.
Laura Stradley with the Veterans Outreach Center in Rochester, New York, says veterans between the ages of 18 and 34 most at risk of suicide.
We have an entire generation in this country who have not known a day without war.
It is, to me, more difficult to swallow when those guys come home and we end up losing him anyway.
A retired Army combat engineer, Patrick Kimball, says a lot of veterans won't seek help because of the stigma surrounding mental health.
I lost 7 guys at last count. They brought a lot of trauma with them. And unfortunately, you know, in some cases, it led, you know, these 7 guys to take their own lives.
The New York State Department of Health says 136 veterans in the Empire State died by suicide in 2017. It is official Tuesday, April 28th. It's primary day in New York. It's also the day for that special election for the 27th congressional seat.
I thought this would be the day that it happened, and sure enough, it is.
Jeremy Zellner is the Erie County Democratic Committee Chairman. State Senator Chris Jacobs has been endorsed by Republicans to fill the seat. He's accusing Governor Cuomo of playing politics by holding the special election on the same day as the Democratic presidential primary.
He's trying to rig the election towards the Democrat. We're not going to let that happen, and I've run tough races before, and we will get the vote out, and we will send a strong message that this is a Republican district and a pro-Trump district.
The 27th Congressional District, traditionally one of the most Republican-leaning districts in all of New York, the congressional seat has remained empty in Washington ever since last September when Republican Chris Collins resigned after pleading guilty to insider trading. Pennsylvania suing the e-cigarette maker Juul over how it markets its products to kids. Attorney General Josh Shapiro says Juul lied about the dangers associated with vaping and specifically targeted kids with its advertising. One quarter of all high school students in Pennsylvania have admitted to using e-cigarettes. Federal and state officials going toe-to-toe over New York's green light law. The U.S. Attorney for New York's Western District, James Kennedy, was joined by Homeland Security, ICE, and U.S. Border Patrol yesterday to voice his frustrations over the controversial law that allows illegal immigrants to apply for a driver's license.
This isn't about licenses. This is about information. Sharing information.
Kennedy says Border Patrol agents can no longer check vehicle or driver's license information from New York's DMV. That means more criminals will enter the state and roam around free.
Don't know who they're coming up to. Well, that person might be wanted for murder because they can't even identify who the registered owner of the vehicle is. They can't run that person's license plate to know whether that person's license, to know whether that person has any warrants pending against them. It's an extremely dangerous situation.
But Erie County Legislator April Baskin says the federal government's attempt to ban the Trusted Traveler program is political overstep.
Makes no sense because it's politics, and it's cruel politics. The goal is to punish New York.
On Monday, New York Attorney General Tish James filed a lawsuit against the Trump administration. If you were affected by the Spectrum outage this past weekend, you could be in line for a refund. The company says it experienced issues in New York, Maine, and New Hampshire after a fiber line was damaged by ice and snow. New York Congressman Anthony Brindisi wants an investigation.
To me, a company that has a monopoly-like control over the state like Spectrum does should have some backup systems in place, and I think the public is owed an explanation.
The issue caused an outage that lasted more than 4 hours this past weekend. If the outage affected you, you're encouraged to contact Spectrum. Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf renewing his calls for Restore PA. The proposal was first introduced in Harrisburg a year ago, hasn't moved since then. The $4.5 billion plan calls for fixing up roads and increasing infrastructure across the Commonwealth.
This is something Republicans, Democrats, local communities all over Pennsylvania are crying for this.
The Restore PA would repair rural roads, remove blight, and increase broadband access across the state. Cindy Adams-Dunn is with the Department of Conservation and Natural Resources.
This is our chance to really set up a Pennsylvania that's really geared to the future, that's really going to make Pennsylvania the place that is thriving in economy, thriving in quality of life, and the place we all want to live, work, and play.
The Republicans say they'd get behind the plan, but are against the state taking on more debt and imposing a severance tax on the natural gas industry to pay for it. A lawsuit has been filed against a northeastern Pennsylvania school district claiming officials knew for years about the unsafe levels of asbestos and lead in the school buildings in Scranton. Here's Family Life's Terry Diener.
Current and former employees of a Pennsylvania school district claimed in a lawsuit filed this week that officials knew for years that unsafe levels of lead and asbestos posed potential health risks for students and staff, but never disclosed the information to them or the public. The plaintiffs are asking for a medical monitoring program for current and former Scranton School District students and staffers, as well as undisclosed damages. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
Thank you, Terry. Southern Tier Congressman Tom Reed, teaming up with several local schools to show some love to veterans for Valentine's Day. The Republican joined students from Corning Painted Post High School, Big Flats Elementary, and St. Mary's in Horseheads to make Valentine's Day cards for folks at the VA in Bath.
Many famous people have said we're only one generation away from losing it. And so making sure the next generation remembers that it takes sacrifice. And these men and women are the best example of that sacrifice.
For senior Aaron Austin, making the cards was the least she could do to show her support to those who've given so much.
Students need a reminder to thank those that serve our country, so I think it's important that the students get involved because it's important for the younger generations to know the importance for those who serve.
This is the 13th year of the program in the Southern Tier. Anglers across New York going to be able to fish for free without a license. This Saturday and Sunday, it is the first statewide free fishing weekend of the year. The program, part of Governor Cuomo's Open for Fishing and Hunting initiative, an effort to draw more interest in the great outdoors. Well, it's a sure sign spring weather on the way. Baseball about to swing back into action. Sunny time. 2 minute drill.
Yeah, play ball. Baseball season is here. Spring training opens this week. Pitchers and catchers for many clubs due to report to camp today. Position players working out next week. Half the teams play in the Cactus League in Arizona. The other half will compete in the Grapefruit League in Florida. First full slate of spring games is a week from Saturday. Speaking of baseball, Major League Baseball is looking at some major changes to their playoff format. Multiple reports say an expanded playoff field from 10 teams to 14 is being considered. It would feature three division winners and four wildcard teams, with the best team in each league receiving a bye into the division series. Change can't happen until 2022 at the earliest due to the league's TV contract. To the NBA.
Dinwiddie fades away. Oh, Dinwiddie!
Spencer Dinwiddie with that game winner. Nets beat the Pacers 105-102. Brooklyn has won 3 of 4, but no one's hotter than the Toronto Raptors. Pascal Siakam poured in a game-high 34. Raptors beat the Timberwolves 137-126. That's 15 straight wins.
Obviously, we want to keep winning, but at the same time, it's just about us continuing to understand, like, you know, what we need to work on and things that we need to get better at.
Raptors are 40-14 on the year. Hot in the NBA, hot on the ice. The Philadelphia Flyers. Carter Hart back with 30 saves. The Flyers beat the Panthers 4-1. The Flyers 8-2-1 in their last 11 games, winning like they should, says James Van Riemsdyk.
I don't think we have guys that get nervous in those situations. I think those games are fun for us to play.
And the Islanders trying to stay hot, winning 3 of 4, beating Ovechkin in the Capitals 5-3. Anthony Beauvillier.
You kind of find your legs when you get points early, and I thought we, as a group, just did a good job just sticking with it and following the game plan, just doing the right things out there.
Sabres at home tonight against Detroit. Maple Leafs entertain Coyotes. Penguins at home against Tampa Bay. Islanders take on those Flyers. New Jersey at home against Florida. And the Rangers in Winnipeg. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphiet.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Tuesday edition of the Noon Report, the New Hampshire primary now underway. We'll have the very latest, plus helping hurting kids around the world. Meet today's hometown hero. And what we will spend this Valentine's Day.
Much of the political fury we see today is the result of misplaced faith. And if Time Magazine's right, the coming generation is in for a lot more fury and disappointment. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Have you seen the image of that woman who, during President Trump's 2017 inauguration, threw back her head and screamed, "No!" like Luke Skywalker did when he found out Darth Vader was actually his father? Well, the woman has since become a meme. While it's always unacceptable to ridicule or belittle anyone made in the image of God, I remember an insightful remark about this woman's show of emotion. You see, for her and for many others, the 2016 electoral results meant that hope itself was lost. For those who gnashed their teeth at the inauguration, politics had taken on the role of religion in their life. January's cover story in Time magazine all but admits this, although through the issue, the hope is noticeably revived. Charlotte Alter, the author of a forthcoming book, The Ones We've Been Waiting For, makes no effort to hide the fact that for many millennials, political reform has become a kind of gospel, and they're evangelist. In a few years, writes Alter, millennials will be a majority of the electorate, and with historically favorable views of socialism, low views of organized religion, and liberal views on sex and gender, the up-and-coming generation looks ready to reverse what older voters have tried to accomplish by electing conservatives. Alter's not only okay with this, she's more than okay. Her tone throughout the whole Time article is triumphant. She can't wait for millennial leaders and voters to transform America, nor does she expect their zeal to lessen as they age. The odd thing throughout the article is that Alter never bothers to argue that these ultra-liberal views are true. You see, for her, the young voters' passion to change the world, along with the fact that they're young, well, that's all the evidence she needs to know that they are right. If millennials and Gen Zers' political views are near religious, then the devotion to that religion that Alter describes and reflects can be called a cult of adolescence. I used that term last year on Breakpoint after 16-year-old climate activist Greta Thunberg was applauded for shouting "How dare you!" to a room of adults at the United Nations. Writing at First Things last month, Theodore Dalrymple compares the activism of millennial progressives with an account by a young Marxist who traveled to Syria to fight for ISIS. Like this recruit to totalitarian ideology, Dalrymple thinks that the rising generation of American voters is seeking more from politics than just good laws. They're seeking salvation. They're seeking a cure for the world's evils, an escape from what feels like a meaningless existence. Having abandoned any hope that these things will come from God, they're left hitching their hopes to the next election, to the next Supreme Court ruling, or the next session of Congress. There's an evangelical tone to their declarations, Dalrymple writes, a sorting of the wheat from the chaff, the sheep from the goats, the saved from the damned. They don't merely want formal changes, they demand a reform of the human heart and intend to bring it about. But of course, politics can never deliver those things. For those who look to activism and policy to fill what Dalrymple calls their existential void, the only thing worse than losing elections might be winning them. Now, I don't know whether Alter is right about the way millennials will vote in the long term. If there's one thing we've learned in the last few years, political pundits struggle to predict the future. Whenever they tell us an outcome's inevitable, that's almost reason alone to doubt it. But what is inevitable, I'm much more certain, is disappointment for anyone who makes politics their religion. As Christians who have the answer that actually can satisfy and a gospel that can actually change hearts and the world, we should see in that disappointment a chance for truth and love, not for gloating. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
20 minutes past the hour, Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. On the weather map, we're looking at a storm system in the southwestern United States, already well endowed with Pacific moisture. It'll come east and north, scooping up Gulf and Atlantic moisture and bring rain, ice, and snow to this region Wednesday night and Thursday. In the meantime, for this afternoon, just rather cloudy, a sprinkle or flurry in spots, temperatures peaking in the 30s and low 40s, dropping into the 20s tonight with clouds, breaks, and a couple of flurries. Tomorrow, partly sunny, temperatures reach to 40. Rain, ice, and snow will develop tomorrow night, continue Thursday. Several inches of snow will likely accumulate from far northwest Pennsylvania through western and central New York during that time frame. A high Thursday, mostly in the 30s.
Okay, Kevin Williams, if you're just joining us, here are some of the stories we're following for you today, Tuesday, February 11th. The nation's first presidential primary underway in New Hampshire.
Volunteers are fired up and feeling very optimistic for today.
Pete Buttigieg sounding confident outside of a polling site in Manchester this morning. The latest polls show Bernie Sanders in the lead in the Granite State. Reporter Caitlin Huey Burns says Buttigieg and others are looking to topple Sanders in today's big vote.
There could be surprises. A lot of people here have been saying that they're interested in Amy Klobuchar. We've seen her surge in the polls in recent days after a good debate performance here the other night, and people that we've been talking to on the ground say don't count her out.
Caitlin Huey Burns reporting. Polls open till 8 tonight in New Hampshire. Coronavirus numbers are growing with more than 42,000 infections worldwide, over 1,000 deaths. A 13th case of the virus has now showed up in the U.S.
That patient from San Diego was initially mistakenly released from isolation back into quarantine after testing negative for the virus. Well, they're back in the hospital now, said to be doing well.
That's Carter Evans reporting. As we approach the second anniversary of the Parkland school shooting, there's a new effort to prevent similar tragedies in the future. Yesterday, President Trump met with the parents of some of the victims from the shooting at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High, where he announced the launch of a new website, schoolsafety.gov. The Trump administration says that site is designed to give schools recommendations to create safe and supportive learning environments. Prosecutors in the college admissions scandal released a resume they say details the fake sports accolades of the daughter of actress Lori Loughlin. Here's correspondent Matt Piper.
The bogus document details an elaborate list of rowing accomplishments, including gold medals and top 15 finishes in the head of the Charles Regatta in Boston, one of rowing's most prestigious events. It even claims, quote, her sister is currently on our roster and fills the position in our number 4 boat. The couple says they did nothing wrong and the $500,000 they paid was merely a donation. Their trial is set to start in October.
That's Matt Piper reporting. Two of the nation's largest wireless carriers set to join forces. The merger between Sprint and T-Mobile given the go-ahead today by a federal judge. Business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
Sprint and T-Mobile argued that both companies alone would struggle to be relevant compared with these behemoths, AT&T and Verizon. The new company would be called T-Mobile and will have more than 100 million customers.
T-Mobile's takeover of Sprint valued at over $26.5 billion. 85 years after plural marriage was outlawed in Utah, there's a push to get rid of the threat of jail time. Here's a reporter, Mark Coble.
Lawmakers proposed a bill that would make bigamy an infraction and not a felony. It would, however, keep harsher penalties for crimes sometimes linked to the practice. Opponents, though, argue the measure wouldn't do much to help victims of abuse in polygamous communities.
That's Mark Coble reporting from Utah. 25 minutes past the hour. You're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life. Of Hometown Heroes on Family Life. I'm your host, Bill Price. Our guest this week, 10-year-old Allie Creasy from Muncie, Pennsylvania. She's helping kids in hospitals all around the world, one stuffed monkey at a time.
I decided that I wanted to give back rather than receive presents, so I chose stuffed monkeys because when I was in the emergency room a few years ago, I was scared. And my Nana gave me a stuffed monkey, and his name is Jack, and he gave me comfort.
I had a teddy bear when I was your age that provided me with a lot of comfort. So you decided it was a good idea to collect these. Now, how many have you collected since your effort began, Allie?
I've collected over 700.
Over 700. Wow, that's exciting. Now, where are these monkeys going?
All over the world. We take them to emergency rooms, children's hospitals, by personal requests, and some have gone as far as Texas and Missouri.
How does it make you feel personally, Allie, to help kids? kids, a lot of them you'll never meet, but to help those kids feel not so afraid. How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel happy because I know they are scared, and then they receive their monkey, and it makes them happy and not afraid. And sometimes they go back to my Facebook group and share a selfie with their monkey, and I love to see their smiles.
Where can folks go on Facebook and find that?
They can just go to Allie's Monkeys.
Allie's Monkeys. All right, so folks want to take a look at that. You are listening to Hometown Heroes on Family Life. Our guest this week is Allie Creasy from Muncie, Pennsylvania, 10-year-old fifth grader at Farrell Elementary. And what kind of impact, Allie, has your efforts to collect these stuffed monkeys, what kind of impact has it had in your school and in your community?
It's been amazing because people all over the world offer to help with the monkey movement and transfer monkeys to hospitals. Like last night, a lady reached out who was going to Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, and she offered to take a whole box.
Really?
And kids have donated for class projects, and some have even adopted my monkey movement for their birthday wish, too.
Now, do you ever get a chance to see these stuffed monkeys handed to kids? Do you ever get a chance to see that happen?
Yeah.
What are the reactions from the kids who get these?
I immediately see a smile on their faces.
Yeah, that's got to make you feel real proud to know that you had a hand in that.
Uh-huh.
So what are your future plans with this, Allie?
I want to deliver as many monkeys as I can to kids who are going through a scary time. And I also hope that I get to meet some children who receive a monkey. And for my 11th birthday this year, we are renting Trout Pond Park on March 28th from 5 to 7. And I invited everyone who received the monkey and all of the donors, so they get the chance to meet where their monkey went.
Okay, and that date again, Allie?
March 28th.
All right, and where are they meeting?
At Trout Pond Park.
Okay, so we want to make sure everyone gets there. That would be neat to see. And you know this more than anyone. You went through a scary time, and you know what the stuffed monkey meant to you. And how has this effort, Allie, how has it changed you personally?
It showed me that God is really good, and it showed me to trust in Him, because there were many times my dream felt bigger than I could even handle.
Mm.
And God provided a way to make so many things happen, and it's been really exciting.
From Muncie, Pennsylvania, this week's Hometown Hero. Join us next week as we search for your home, your town, your hero. It's Hometown Heroes on Family Life.
And the big show comes your way every Tuesday during the Noon Report. You can also find it online anytime at fln.org/podcast.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. On the weather map, we're looking at a storm system in the southwestern United States, already well endowed with Pacific moisture. It'll come east and north, scooping up Gulf and Atlantic moisture, and bring rain, ice, and snow to this region Wednesday night and Thursday. In the meantime, for this afternoon, just rather cloudy, a sprinkle or flurry in spots, temperatures peaking in the 30s and low 40s, dropping into the 20s tonight with clouds, breaks, and a couple of flurries. Tomorrow, partly sunny, temperatures reach to 40. Rain, ice, and snow will develop tomorrow night, continue Thursday. Several inches of snow will likely accumulate from far northwest Pennsylvania through western and central New York during that time frame. A high Thursday, mostly in the 30s.
Thank you, Kevin Williams. Finally at noon. So how much do you plan to spend on your significant other for Valentine's Day? Correspondent Phil Hewlett has the results from a national survey.
Bankrate.com analyst Sarah Foster says 70% of Americans expect to spend money on Valentine's Day. But when it comes to how much, millennials are really leading the charge.
And when you think about the typical adult, our survey found that they're expecting to spend about $150. But millennials, on the other hand, that number jumps to $208.
The good news is that just 6% of those surveyed who say they engage in gift giving with their current spouse or partner have ever been disappointed with a gift because it was too cheap.
That's Phil Hewlett reporting, and that is the world we live in this Tuesday. As always, thanks for coming along. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.